We're to observe the Lord's Supper tonight. The church has two pictorial ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. The reason that we say they're pictorial is because they show forth. They show forth the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He gave these ordinances to the church. Matthew 26, if you'd like to turn your Bibles. Matthew chapter 26. Beginning with verse number 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it. Now they were eating the Passover supper. And they were gathered together in the upper room to observe that supper. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Now the disciples here are his church, his called out chosen ones. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So he instituted, he gave it to his church. And he observed it there on that day. And he says in verse 29, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And they sang a hymn and went out into the Mount of Olives. So the supper was given to his churches, New Testament churches, churches that have a lineage back to the church that Jesus built. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1 Corinthians 11 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Now remember, these picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper pictures the death of Christ. And he emphasized here, he says, they were perverting the supper, and he says, "I can't praise you." Now, he says, "Keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Why? Because when he delivered them, they showed forth that picture without being marred or perverted or deviated in any way. And now he tells his church, he says, "Now you observe that supper in this same manner. Don't let anything come into it, or don't bring anything into it that would mar that picture as it shows forth." Now, he gave the supper to his church, and the supper was delivered by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter to the local church at Corinth that came from the church at Jerusalem that Jesus built. And so it was the same kind of church. And therefore, they were commissioned and given the supper, and they were to take and observe that supper in the manner in which he delivered it. Now, the purpose of the supper is 1 Corinthians 11 and chapter 26. 1 Corinthians 11 and 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." You do show forth the Lord's death until he comes. The supper is restricted to the purpose, and the purpose is to show the Lord's death until he comes. He put restrictions around the supper in order to keep it from being, the picture from being marred. It's restricted to the baptized believers, Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and 42. Acts the second chapter, verses 41 and 42. The Bible says, them that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. This breaking of bread, the only breaking of bread, the only eating the worship service of a New Testament church is the Lord's Supper, showing forth his death till he comes. The church has given restrictions that she's upheld around this supper to preserve what it pictures and what it shows forth. His death. He died, was buried according to the scripture. He rose again. He died for our sins, was buried and resurrected for our salvation. And he did this and produced the power to change man's eternal destiny, the power to repair the damage that man had done between God and man, to be able to resurrect those that are dead in trespasses and sin, of which all men are, until they repent and by faith trust Jesus as their Savior. Then they're resurrected to life. And then after they are resurrected to life, they need to submit and follow the Lord's scriptural baptism, which prepares them for membership in a New Testament church. Then he'll add them, if they were willing to do so, to a scriptural New Testament church where they can give God honor and glory. Now, this doesn't set right with a lot of people, but it does set right with the scripture. He gave the supper to show forth the Lord's death until he comes. He restricted it to baptize believers. They that gladly received his word, those that were saved, they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them, unto who? The church. His church, church that he built. By the way, it was built and completed in his personal ministry, by the way. He added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's the word of God. And yet the Lord's churches are throwing God's word out this day and time. And it's a shame. They continue the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. It's restricted to the disciplined of the church. Therefore, none but members of a local New Testament church can partake of the Lord's Supper. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11. 1 Corinthians 5th chapter, verse 11. The Bible says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner with such a one, no, not to eat. So the supper is restricted to the disciplined of the local New Testament church. And he sets it forth here. If there's members that are guilty of this, you're not to eat with them. That's not breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's the Lord's Supper. Again, because that's the only eating that's to be done in the worship service of a New Testament church when they come together at the appointed place and appointed time, which is to worship the Lord. And in a worship service, only the eating or partaking of the Lord's Supper, showing forth his death until he comes, is proper in the service of a New Testament church. So he says, those that are guilty of these things, you're not to eat with them. Well, if you don't eat with them, you're going to have to put them out. And the church has the authority and the right to refuse membership to those who would live life like this and bring reproach upon the Lord's church and mar that picture of his death that the Lord's Supper portrays and the burial and resurrection that baptism portrays. It's restricted to self-examination, 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and verse number 28. 11th chapter, 1 Corinthians verse 28 says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And by the way, this man is a member of the church. This man is a member of the church. Church has examined him. Now he's to examine himself as a member of the church. There's folks out here, churches and church people, that want us to believe that that says any man, just any. No, this man is a member of the church at Corinth. And let him examine himself, the Bible says. So the Lord's Supper is restricted to a self-examination. It is restricted to a united church. Look at 1 Corinthians 11 here and verses 16 through 20. It says, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. So, the Lord's Supper is restricted to those that are united. They're not to have any division in the church. We're not to have contention. We're not to have strife in the church when we observe the Lord's Supper. We're to be in unity and in harmony and yielded to the Holy Spirit. For first of all, when you come together, there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place. When you come together in one place, that's when the Lord's Supper is observed. If you can't come together, you don't observe the Lord's Supper. And if you're not going to come together to observe the Lord's Supper and the church is going to observe it, they can observe it without you being present. A mission work, no matter if you synchronize your watches the same time of day, and even if you have the same weather outside, there is no provision in the scripture for observing the Lord's Supper as a mission work. If they want to observe the Lord's Supper, they need to attend the church body, and when she comes together, appointed place and appointed time, then they can observe the Lord's Supper, but only until then. Come together in one place. By the way, where's the universal church at? Isn't any? If you got a universal church, brother, or a universal body, it'll never come together in one place. They can never observe the Lord's Supper. They can never show the Lord's death till he comes. They can never observe these pictorial ordinances. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. It's restricted to examine the will of the church. Look at 1 Corinthians 5. First Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. He says, For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Again, examining, the church examining herself. The church being willing to put out those who would mar the picture that these ordinances show forth. It's restricted to the elements. Matthew 26 and verse number 29. Matthew chapter 26. verse number 29. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in my Father's kingdom. Now notice, he emphasized, and for a purpose, the fruit of the vine. What does the vine produce? It produces grape juice. It does not produce alcohol. The fruit of the vine is juice. Now, when we were over in Israel, the people over there tell us that the custom to give alcohol to people is a Western custom. Over there, they always give juice. And by the way, the wine that they put in those bags wasn't alcohol, it was juice. Read it, study it out, do some thinking, it'll come to you. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's house, the fruit of the vine, in every place that he sets forth. So, it's restricted to the elements. And then in 1 Corinthians 5, it talks about taking the supper as unleavened bread. But here's the point of it. They were observing the Passover, and there was no leaven in their houses for a whole week before. And they observed it with unleavened bread. And so the bread that he broke was unleavened bread. Why unleavened? Because of the fact that his body was sinless. There was no sin in it. And that broken bread represents his broken body. That unleavened bread, leaven is used as a type of sin in the scripture. There was no sin in the body of Jesus. If you take the supper with anything other than unleavened bread, you are marring that picture. You are taking away from it. And to be consistent, and we must be consistent, we have to go with unleavened bread because it represents the sinless body of Jesus Christ. How simple is it? And yet how many are so confused? You guys aren't, it's boring to you. You know it all. You've got it down. But do you? How long would it take somebody to come in here and lead you astray? How long would it take somebody to come in and smooze you and bring you to a place to where we get that giddy feeling of loving everybody? And pretty soon, what are we doing? We're inviting everybody. After all, Jesus is love. And so therefore, listen, you need to get it down, church. Yeah. It shouldn't become boring to you either. You ought to get excited about it because it shows forth the greatest event that ever happened in the history of mankind. And that event that happened changed man's eternal destiny and has the power to change every man's eternal destiny. It's restricted, again, to the coming together of the church. And by the way, for the church to observe the Lord's Supper, what a privilege that it is. What a blessing that it is. He commanded us to observe it and to do it in remembrance of him. Remembrance of him? Why? What about him? Remember that our sins put him on that cross. Our sins took his life. He died on that cross because of your sin and mine. And by the way, we weren't worthy of him doing that. By no means. But he did it anyway because he so loved us. He so loved us. He loved a rotten sinner like me. He loved a sinner like you. And he loved us so much that he was willing to give up the glories of heaven, come down and be poverty stricken, having nothing. He was rich, but he became poor for our sakes. Yes, it should mean something to us. It should stir us. And listen, that love that he had for us and the sacrifice that he made for us who are so undeserving, it should humble us. And we ought to desire to show him our appreciation by being obedient and faithful to him. If you're here and lost tonight, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to think about how that Jesus suffered, bled, and died, how that he did it because of you or your sins and mine. And you need to humble yourself before him and cry out to him for his forgiveness and his cleansing. We desperately need to accept the full value of the death that he died. And as we observe this supper tonight, then we need to be mindful that he died on that cross as a man. He died on that cross as God. Remember, his sweat becomes, or as drops of blood, or his tears become as drops of blood there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Why? Because for the first and only time, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were going to be separated. That was new territory for God. Yeah. Our sins drove them apart. And read about the reaction of creation and what it did. We observe this supper tonight. We're considering that very thing. Let's stand. Brother, what shall we sing?